This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much, Rob Center, for being a fabulous producer this week, always taking good care of us, making sure the archives are up to date. As soon as any interview's done, just go to WKOK Sunrise on our podcast page, and you'll see that interview posted as a podcast. On the news line with us now, Eric Wright is back in our good graces, as always, I guess I should say. And typically, we get to enjoy an interview with him here in person, but of course we're doing all distancing these days. He's professor and director of the Center for Pharmacy Innovation and Outcomes. He's a natural-born teacher and leader and researcher. Good morning, Eric. Thanks for calling in this morning.
Hi, Mark. It's nice to talk to you again.
Well, I do appreciate it.
Sorry we can't be there in person.
I think we should be able to. We're saying next year. And we're depending on, actually, we're depending on you personally to develop a vaccine, so I think you got your work cut out. Go ahead and get started on that. Now, what is the Center for Pharmacy Innovation and Outcomes? I don't think people always think about really making sure that medication is constantly researched and thought about is as critical as it is.
Thanks again for having me on the show. The Center for Pharmacy Innovation and Outcomes, we started about 5 years ago, and it's part of research in pharmacy. So just imagine we have a team of pharmacists throughout our hospitals and our clinics, and we have a lot of researchers who work with our clinicians, and we just formed a group that basically helps to connect those two dots and look at how we use medications in our system and try to use medications better. And if that means, you know, better different services, if that means using medications that are newly advanced, if that means studying new medications within our system, that's what we do.
And you really mastered this protocol of coming up with what are best practices afterward. What's, you know, the research part happens. You have this bench to bedside work that takes place. But if something proves to be effective, it becomes part of a best practice. And so the whole Geisinger system, and then, of course, other hospitals can follow to make sure that they're doing the same kind of process.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we actually did this for COVID as well. Some of the clinicians, the researchers, the individuals throughout all of our system get together on a regular basis and review the literature constantly. And with COVID, there's just articles that are published daily that we have to keep up with. And that enables us to learn from those research that's being conducted and adjust accordingly. And we've done that over time since it started.
Well, on the topic of COVID-19, what medications are known to be effective now, and what ones are you researching?
I mean, we started off with a lot of antivirals that were used for other infectious diseases that we knew about, like flu or COVID-1, which is kind of the precursor to what we see as COVID-2, SARS-CoV-2, or COVID-19. But we didn't know what would work with COVID-19. We had some preliminary information coming from China and Europe, and we started to use some of those treatments. But we really needed to conduct the clinical trials and get the results of those. And by clinical trials, I mean trials that have a drug treatment and not a drug treatment, and then comparing whether or not people get better or worse with those different arms. Right. And we found out from some of those studies, yeah, there was a study in Europe in particularly that showed us that dexamethasone, basically a steroid given to patients in the hospital, actually improved some of their outcomes. So we adjusted our treatment algorithm to incorporate that, and then also adjust some of the antivirals. You probably heard of remdesivir, which has also been given emergency use access by our facilities.
We use the phrase, what would work on COVID-19? Explain what working does, shortening hospital stays or more comfort for the patient. Explain what working entails.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, when we have a hospitalized patient with COVID-19, that means that they're severe enough that they can't walk around, they can't be in their home, and they need to be in the hospital for supportive measures. With COVID-19, it ravages the pulmonary system, our internal organs, the vascular system, And people can die, and we see a higher mortality rate with this than other people. So we want to prevent death as the, you know, one of our number one things that we could do, but also improve, you know, their recovery, which, you know, that's another piece of this puzzle that, you know, has really been challenging is improving their recovery over time. So if they come in the hospital, we want them out of the hospital, right? And that means that they feel better. They can breathe better. If they're in the ICU, we want them out of the ICU. So it's really stepping them down off of more critically based areas and then preventing them from dying.
We heard about hydroxychloroquine, and then we didn't hear anything about it. What happened to that as a drug that at least showed some possibility, if not promise?
Again, this is one of those off-the-shelf drugs that initially we thought might be helpful for COVID-19. And, you know, there was not a clinically controlled study at the beginning that allowed us to know whether or not using it versus not using it actually prevented death or made a person get well faster. And when we looked at that, we found that really we don't see those trends with that drug. We do see it with some other ones like remdesivir. People get well faster in the hospital. And with dexamethasone, people are less likely to die if given that drug while in the hospital. But we didn't see that with hydroxychloroquine. So we no longer have that as part of our normal treatment patterns for patients.
All right. What's the status of antibody testing?
That's probably a question for someone else. I could tell you that we are looking at using some treatments that are directed towards COVID-19 right now that have come about since we've had the virus. And those are really monoclonal antibodies that really attack the virus itself. You think about when we get an infection, our body has an immune response, right? And that immune response helps fight off the infection and prevents us from getting another infection. We develop our own antibodies. Preliminarily, we started using convalescent plasma, which is basically plasma coming from donors who've had COVID-19. We use that plasma to help fight off infection in people who have COVID-19. So if you come into a hospital, you may get convalescent plasma if you have COVID-19 from a donor. We are still studying that to see whether or not that is effective in helping to make people well quicker or prevent death. And we're also kind of isolating those neutralizing antibodies, we call them, the antibodies that come from that convalescent plasma or are developed to kind of attack the virus itself and prevent it from getting into cells, hopefully, again, helping with the recovery period. And we put that in almost like a drug formulation, and we give it by intravenous injection, and we hope that that can cause this passive immunity where people get well quicker because it's kind of blocking the virus from entering our cells, and it helps it get out of our body quicker. You know, again, if you haven't been exposed to the virus, you're not making those normally, so getting those from some other source may be helpful. So we're studying that now, not only in people who have COVID, but those who might be at high risk for developing disease, like people who live in a household with a person who might be COVID positive.
As soon as I Googled neutralizing antibodies, the first thing comes up is a private company is interested in paying me for my plasma if I had had, you know, COVID-19. Strangely enough, I talked to you on the air a day after I got a negative COVID-19 test, so I don't have any antibodies that I know of that would be helpful in this. But in any event, they'd be willing to pay for my plasma if I had some, if I'd had COVID-19 in the past.
The one distinction, Mark, if I could just say, the one distinction between the test that you would get from the antibodies, and I'm glad you're negative there.
Thank you.
But the one distinction I would say is that when they test for those antibody tests to see if you were exposed, They may not be testing for the neutralizing antibodies. So it would just say that you might have an exposure, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have, the same amount of neutralizing antibodies within your body. So it means that you had some kind of exposure to COVID.
All right. So on this topic of medications and research and a tiny bit of the plasma conversation, what else do you want to tell us? We only have a few moments left. So tell us what critical areas you're working on that I haven't asked you about.
We're in a position where, you know, we've learned a lot, but we still need to learn a lot more about how to effectively prevent and treat COVID-19. And without conducting well, carefully designed clinical trials, we won't know for a longer period of time. So what we're doing with clinical trials is we're hoping to get the information as quickly as possible in a well-designed study and then share that as quickly as possible with the world, so that we could get better treatments. We've already seen how we could apply that within our algorithms for treatment to help get people out of the hospital quicker and prevent mortality. And it's starting to work. But we need to do these clinical trials to do so. We're in a system where we are conducting that. So that's kind of it. I mean, we have to do the science in order to know whether or not it pays off. And that's where we're at today.
We talked to one nurse who was on the news line earlier this week, and we said that the latest strain of COVID-19 is less deadly, and she kind of sounded the alarm on the phone, made a noise, and said, "No,
yeah.
We're just a lot better at keeping you alive. it's the same virus that ever was." Well, Eric, thank you so much. We're going to have to talk again in the months ahead. The Take Back Coalition is just as busy and moving forward as ever, so I want an update on that in the months ahead, and we'll have you on again in the future just to talk about this topic again as it evolves. So I appreciate your help. Thank you so much, Eric. Thanks for calling in today.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
I do appreciate that. Eric Wright, professor and director of the Center for Pharmacy Innovation and Outcomes at Geisinger, really on the very, very, very front lines of the medication research and developing best practices when it comes to using pharmaceuticals to treat and hopefully eventually eradicate COVID-19.